and we have been looking at the first book of Kings, a story, really, a sad account, the failure in the life of so many kings, beginning with the life of Solomon. And Solomon started wonderfully, didn't he? He prayed the right things. He asked God for what was most needed, which was wisdom. And God commended him for praying such a prayer and blessed him with many other things as well. But the sad thing about Solomon is he finished so badly and set an example of what was to follow. And Solomon, presented as this great wise person, is actually a fool in the end, because he rejects the very things he spoke about himself. And that is a foolish thing to do. He finished so badly and left a heritage of disobedience to the commandments of God. And it's true, your sin will find you out. It has consequences. David fell into sin, and it had consequences for him, even though, yes, he was forgiven, even though we know he humbled himself, it still had consequences. The reality of sin and its corruption in the life of God's people is prominent in this particular book of the Scriptures. The contrast to this corruption is the little glimpse of light that appears in the faith and dependence of the life of Asa, king of Judah, who sadly also finished badly, although most of his time as king, he showed forth a quality that is essential for godliness, a dependence on God himself. Now, the sad reality of ungodly leaders continues in the account of Zimri that we read tonight, who destroyed all the house of Baasha, whose son Elah preceded Zimri. And there was incredible chaos at this particular time. You can read Zimri reigned for 7 days. I don't think there's people who've reigned less. 7 days, just a week. Yes. The lack of order and level of confusion in Israel led to further military intervention that brought down Zimri's rule in only 7 days. These events speak of spiritual corruption, the rise of satanic forces in Israel that brought to light the works of Satan to kill, to steal, and to destroy. As Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, the downfall of Zimri is swift and brings to mind the kind of mindset that takes hold of those who refuse to submit to God. Life is spiritual. I can see you there, but only God can truly see you, because man is actually created body, mind, and spirit. And God is spirit. He sees everything about us. Life is spiritual, and in the kingdom of this world, there are spiritual forces that men and women cannot control. You and I cannot control spiritual forces. We think we can, but the deception is the spiritual forces control us, and they tell us we can control them. Only God can provide the security against being ruled by evil spirits. We've seen it in the life of Saul earlier. When Saul rebelled against God, an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. Zimri conspires to kill Elah. And we read in the 26th year of Asa. Notice in all of these references, you've got Elah, you've got Baasha. They refer back to the years when Asa was ruling in Judah. And he continues to rule as a contrast to this chaotic and rebellious kingdom of Israel. Elah the son of Baasha began to reign over Israel in Tirzah, and he reigned 2 years. But his servant, Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. When he was at Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household of Tirzah, Zimri came in and struck him down and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Well, we know he reigned for 7 days. When he began to reign, as soon as he had seated himself on his throne, he was only reigning for 7 days, he struck down all the house of Baasha. He was quick to murder all the family of Baasha. He did not leave him a single male of his relatives or his friends. So what sort of spirit is Zimri ruling in? Fear. He's ruling in a spirit of fear. No one can rule godly in a spirit of fear. You cannot rule your house in a spirit of fear in a godly way. You cannot rule in the household of God, in the church, if you live under a spirit of fear. For you are not acknowledging that God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. Zimri is ruling under a spirit of fear because he is not connected to the living God. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. All the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned. Yes, this is judgment of God. And God uses people to judge. He's using Donald Trump at the moment to judge. Don't you notice? And that's not commending Donald Trump. Here Zimri is being used to judge. But God is using him to judge. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the troops were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the troops who were encamped heard that Zimri had conspired and he has killed the king. Just imagine you're in the army, you're serving the king, you're fighting against the Philistines, and suddenly you hear that someone's killed the king. And it tells us here, immediately all Israel made Omri the commander of the army king over Israel. What a chaotic state we are in here. So Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the house, king's house, and burned the king's house over him with fire and died. And where did he go? This man. We had a meeting here a few weeks ago, and a man came in and he spoke to me in the car park, and he was trying to get money, I think for drugs. He was on drugs. And I wouldn't give him money. So he said, oh, I'll just kill myself. I said, don't do that. Do you know where you'll end up? It's a lot worse than what you're going through right now. It kind of arrested him, actually. the reality of hell, separation from God for eternity, is what Jesus told people about. He said, a rich man living in comfort died and ended in eternal fire, crying out to Abraham to send messengers to tell people and warn them against the reality of hell. And we would have people today who would say, oh, you can't preach about hell. But it's a reality Jesus preached about. And where is Zimri, having burnt himself in the king's house, having just murdered Baasha, his family, and all Elah? Well, the Bible tells us because of his sins that he committed, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the way of Jeroboam, and for his sin, which he committed, making Israel to sin. And we might think, oh, well, that was the end of Zimri. No, that's not the end of Zimri. Zimri is in eternal fire. It's not the end of Zimri. It's not the end of you or me. Rest the acts of Zimri, his conspiracy that he made, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles, the kings of Israel? What was ruling in Zimri's heart that he did all this? What sort of influences would cause him to kill the king, seek to take his throne, and then end up killing himself? Well, pride is one for sure. He was a commander of half the king's chariots. Lust. Lust for power, for position. And fear. Fear ruled in Zimri's heart. A military man with position and influence who found Elah drunk and took opportunity to kill him in order to usurp his throne. Well, the pursuit of personal advancement has strong ties to the enemy of souls. The pursuit of personal advancement has strong ties to the enemy of souls. Satan sought a position that was not his, and as a result rebelled against God. He was thrown out of heaven and has been seeking to maintain his influence in this world. Wherever men and women choose their own advancement, Satan is at work behind the scenes. If you or I are seeking our own advancement, the devil is at work. When Zimri hears that his quest for power has failed to gain support from the people of Israel, his position as king is tenuous. All Israel hears of Zimri's treacherous coup, and Omri is proclaimed king to oppose the act of treason. Omri then besieges Tirzah, where Zimri has sought refuge, and when Zimri discovers he's in danger of reaping what he has sown, he sets fire to the king's house and commits suicide by remaining in the building as it burns to the ground. And you'd say, how foolish! Where is he now? Well, opening up our hearts to evil is so dangerous. So dangerous. As that evil cannot be controlled by us. Moses makes it clear to the people, Reuben and Gad he spoke to there, as Alistair referred to. As Alistair rightly pointed out, Reuben and Gad had found territory on the east side of the Jordan before the rest of the tribes crossed over to the west side. And they agreed that they would fight with their brothers across on the west side and ensure that they found their territory before they came back and settled in their own territory. And Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will take up arms to go before the Lord for the war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then after that you shall return and be free of obligation to the Lord and to Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. The most important thing in each one of our lives is to deal with our sin, with our pride, with our lust, with our self-centeredness, with our rebellion, with our rejection of God's word when he challenges us. This is the most important thing to do. Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples. One of them consistently opposed dealing with his sin. The same truth of your sin will find you out is evident in the New Testament. Judas' continual refusal to deal with his own sin, his stealing, his deceit, his pretense, all give ground to the enemy of souls, just like Zimri. Satan is able to control the lives of you and me when we do not deal with our sin. Having walked with Jesus for such a long period of time and witnessed all the wonderful works of the Lord, Judas maintains his independence and thinks he can handle the situation in his own strength. And this is the problem of the kings there in Israel. They think they can rule and reign and act without God and without his help. And Luke tells us, as we read tonight, in Luke 22, there was a moment when Satan entered into Judas, who was the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And Satan was actually deceiving Judas about what was going to take place. He was not in control. He agreed to give them money, so he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the crowd. But then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See it to yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver, he departed and he went and hanged himself. He was not in control of his own life. He had allowed the thief to enter in. And this is what Zimri did too. Be sure your sin will find you out. So what is the answer? What's the great message out of these stories? Well, the contrast between Asa and the kings of Israel is so clear. Yes, Asa fell down at the end of his life, but essentially the key quality of Asa is humility. The key quality of Asa is humility, his dependence upon God. And he's commended for this. Humility is a sign of dependence rather than self-made accomplishments. If we say, I can't do it, I need God's help, I'm weak and vulnerable and would easily go astray, I recognize that in this world there are forces at work that would overcome me unless I have God to fight my battle. And the Apostle Peter knew this. Remember Peter? He appears at times very confident, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's immediately saying, you shall not suffer. Get behind me, Satan. He's oscillating between these positions. It's like he's in a battle. God's got him one moment and the devil's got him the next. And Peter is humbled at the end when he denies Jesus three times. He realizes, I can't do it. Now you are in a position where God can take charge in your circumstance. When you acknowledge you cannot do it. You see, even in his death, Zimri is doing it. It's a bit like euthanasia today. We won't let God be in charge. Man wants to take charge. So what is Peter? What's his advice in confronting this issue of your sin will find you out? He says this to his readers in 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under God. Seek refuge under his wings. Come to him, the Holy One. Yes, the one who will convict you and show up your sin, but the one also who forgives you and cleanses you and protects you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may lift you up. Cast all your anxieties on him. You know, Jesus said, do not be anxious about anything. And then I find myself getting anxious. What am I to do? Well, Peter's telling you what to do. Take these anxieties. Cast them onto God. Show your dependency is on him and not on yourself. To handle your anxieties, to handle your fears. Zimri is trying to handle his fears by taking his own life. Where's he going to end up? In a worse state. Cast all your anxieties, says Peter, on him because he cares for you. If only these kings in Israel recognized the God who'd rescued the people from Egypt, who cared for them in the wilderness, who led them all the way. But they became independent of him and they tried to do it themselves. Be sober-minded, says Peter. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Yes, we are battling with the devil in this world. Yes, Satan is wanting to take hold. So be sober. Be watchful. Resist him. We can resist him, just like Jesus did. We use the word of God to resist him. Firm in your faith. Where is your faith? In who are you putting your trust? Will God fight for you? David believed it. Read Psalm 35. Fight against those who fight against me, he says. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Every true believer in Jesus Christ will pass through times of suffering and trial and opposition. But Peter says this, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, he's imploring us to trust our God, to trust our Father, to trust the one who has declared he is dependable. And what are these kings of Israel doing? They've rejected him. The God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. No, it's not up to you to strengthen yourself. It's not up to you to restore yourself. It's not up to you to establish yourself. It's God who will do it if you believe and trust in him. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, King Asa, the one who's in contrast to the kings of Israel at the time, that we're talking about now, sought the Lord and called his people to do the same. He relied on God until a moment later in his life when he turned to earthly support, which became a snare. As a result, he was rebuked by the prophet Hanani. We read this in Second Chronicles. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria, did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with every many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand." So Hanani is telling him, "Don't you remember when you trusted God? He gave vast armies into your hand when you trusted him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is completely his or is blameless toward him," is dealing with our sin. Sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. What does the writer of the Hebrews say there in chapter 3? "Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Our God is alive today. He rules the whole earth. He's got Donald Trump in his hand. He's got Ukraine and Russia and South Sudan and all these leaders in his hand. He is on the throne. He's the one calling us to put our trust in him. And Asa did for most of his life. He led the people to put their trust in God. But right at the end, he called actually for the king of Syria to fight his battle against Baasha, king of Israel. And the prophet or the seer Hanani is challenging him, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support for those whose heart is blameless toward him. "You've done foolishly in this, or from now on you will have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer, put him in stocks in prison. Well, he's in a rage with him because of this, and Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the time. Again, just like the kings of Israel, Asa's sin found him out. So God wants us to recognize where we are failing to trust him, failing to believe his character, failing to recognize he is God, failing to yield ourselves entirely to him, putting no confidence in the flesh, but believing in a God who is alive. Because he tells us, "Be sure of this, your sin will find you out." So let us flee from sinfulness and put our trust in the one who loves us and has promised he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. Let's pray.